Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 49.
This week on the podcast, Poland Springs steals the State of the Union, thus expanding their market share on the West Coast.
Chuck Hagel will get nominated and or filibustered, depending on which John McCain you talk to.
Going to an Obama speech will definitely get your family members shot in Chicago. We warned you.
Republicans are now against their own immigration plan after finding out that Obama supports it too.
The Alabama UNOS organ donor list now offering babies.
Plus, Elizabeth Warren wins the internet, John McCain speaks to every media outlet about every issue all week, CNN jumps the shark, and there's no need for the Cold War anymore because Russia has the sky.
All that and more. Plus, don't forget to follow us on Twitter. This is Brain Trust Live. Well, last week we talked a lot about the Dorner case.
Right.
And
against our will, but we did it.
We did it because we felt like we had to. And I went straight to the source.
The source. He did some fact checking for us.
I did. I went to Big Bear. I had to check it out by skiing.
went on a President's Day and or sliding down a mountain.
I almost died.
Sliding down a mountain called The Wall.
Yeah.
Some of the best mountain sliding. The most difficult mountain sliding out there, really.
Yeah.
Or I guess it's the easier mountain sliding.
I almost hurt myself.
Yeah.
But
you didn't.
I didn't, and here I am.
And you didn't die at Dorner's hand, because luckily he was dead already. Because.
And the way that we knew this was because of some split screens from State of the Union split screens, which were fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because it was old footage, basically. I was watching MSNBC, and they were like showing.
It was the same it was 5 seconds of helicopter footage that they were looping.
It was old at that point because it was dark in Big Bear already. Yeah. And they even said on CNN at one point, they were like, what we're showing you is not live, and it's like, it's a picture of a burning that could be anywhere, basically. Like,
yeah.
You couldn't even see.
And here's something embarrassing also. MSNBC literally had just Big Bear footage up until the moment the State of the Union started. CNN split-screened
it. It was CNN that was doing the split-screen, right?
It was CNN doing the split-screen. CNN had better State of the Union coverage than MSNBC.
It's unfortunate.
Like, what are they even up to? Where was Rachel?
I don't know. Because the other thing that
not
CNN...
Not manning the... Edit Bay, that's for sure.
Because the other thing that CNN was up to this week was hilariously, obsessively covering this cruise ship debacle, which I don't even know any of the details on because I just don't care.
Well, we should tell you that we have our friend Jill here
today.
She's refusing to speak on camera. She's here to monitor us so we don't make fun of her this week.
Are we
on a microphone?
Are we taping this?
We're not taping this.
You didn't get
There's
my permission
no photographic
to do
proof of
okay.
Once me and Brent were doing a podcast from different cities, and we were doing it on iChat, and I kept saying, Brent, you have to give me permission to record it. And he kept saying, you have, my permission.
But really, I had to click on a button.
And said,
I give this person permission to record this. I just kept telling her verbally that she had it, not knowing what she was talking about.
No one has given us permission to videotape this, so we're not doing it.
Okay, good.
But Jill is here.
We sort of bashed her a little bit last week.
Right.
Because we wanted her to talk about the Dorner case.
The Dorner case.
Because we knew that she knew, despite her telling us that she didn't know.
This week.
And we know that she knows about the cruise ship, but she's also not telling us about that because she's embarrassed.
Here's what we think
happened. She's sitting right here laughing, and we can see her.
Here's what we think happened on the cruise ship.
Right. And she knows that we're going to look over to her.
She knows the facts. But
we're just making them up.
We're going to tell you what we think happened. There was a Carnival Cruise Line ship that got stranded in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yes.
And
it had to get towed into Alabama or something, right?
Yeah, Alabama. Meanwhile, they were near Mexico, and they couldn't. The Mexican authorities wouldn't let them in because they didn't have passports because it was a domestic cruise.
Right.
So they were stranded. Mysteriously, no one could organize a rescue operation for like 4 days or something crazy, and CNN covered every minute.
Every waking minute of it. Like, to the point where, like, everyone was making fun of them. Like, The Daily Show was making fun of them. Like, other news sources were making fun of them. I mean, they were being sort of ridiculous about it. I was reading something where, like, one of the people down there, like, interviewed somebody who finally, once the ship docked, and they were like, some of the conditions that you guys were experiencing were similar to the conditions of people who were in Hurricane Katrina. And the guy sort of, like, just, like, you know, looked at this person who was asking this question, was sort of like, no.
that is incorrect.
It was sort of dirty and smelly, and we were bored. Like, that's what he said. Like, which sounds worthy of 4 days of CNN coverage.
Absolutely.
But CNN is really, they're really getting into the tabloid stuff.
They've jumped the shark.
I woke up this morning, and they had, like, a big round table of, like, mental health professionals who were really sort of getting into the Minnie McCreary suicide this morning. And I was oh, God, this is what it's come to at CNN. Jeff Zucker took over, and they're just, I said to Lila, I was like, they're turning into like a 24-hour Today show, which he invented.
Which
so,
was or the perfect,
propelled.
That was the perfect example of what's happening there.
So that's what's happening at CNN.
Meanwhile, the State of the Union was this week. You wouldn't know it from all of the Dorner slash cruise ship coverage. There's one moment from the response that you might know about. But we're going to talk about Obama's speech first.
Yeah, because we feel like we should.
We feel like we should. It was not the world's most fascinating speech, I guess, but
it was a good speech.
It was like decent.
It's going to be known for the they deserve a vote and they deserve a vote.
There were some good lines in it, for sure.
With the gun violence and everybody standing up and Gabby Giffords. And
you may have noticed that we posted a sort of summary on our blog about the State of the Union. Basically, he covered like a few ideas that are like a little controversial, but kind of generally supported publicly. Things like raising the minimum wage.
Nobody was expecting that.
No.
Everybody,
well, we were expecting it right before because everyone told us to expect it.
Well, right. But everybody, I mean, sort of until right before and even after, sort of like as they talked about the speech, I mean, nobody really sort of saw that coming. So I was excited about that. I mean, it doesn't need to be $9. It needs to be $15.
Right.
Could be debated, I suppose.
we're doing the best we can here. It's something now. It's like $7.
Yeah, it's like, well, it hasn't been raised in like, Bush raised it.
Yeah,
last.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
If Bush can raise the minimum wage, surely we can get that going. And also, he talked about immigration reform. Obviously, now that he has ideas about immigration reform, the Gang of Eight is having issues.
Now that Obama has his own plan, they'll never pass it.
Well, and his plan is identical to their plan. So that's another
questionable. But it has his name questionable, attached to it, so the Republicans won't be able to find themselves to vote for
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So. He talked about leaving Afghanistan. Which was something that we were expecting. Mm-hmm. The drawdown is sort of like the big
talked about his
news.
Love of fracking. Which maybe
I
not,
was furious
not,
about.
Not
this.
Overtly, but I mean,
no. This is what happened. He starts talking about how climate change is a big issue, and we need to address climate change, mm-hmm. and blah blah blah, and uses that as a lead-in to discussing how we need to find other gas sources, and then endorses natural gas drilling, which is fracking. People, that's the same thing.
Yeah,
like don't.
He was like really touting how
change.
We've had the most natural gas. Like processing in the country, like ever.
Yeah,
and it's just sort of like,
don't
well,
say that.
We're fracking everywhere.
Yeah, that's because we're polluting water all over the country. That's because, and we like don't have any way of like addressing this problem that's not regulated at all. Like it's just sort of like a giant free for all of people drilling for oil on land. Why would anyone think that would be as safe as drilling for oil in the sea?
Yeah.
Like
I don't
a mystery
know.
To everyone.
Yeah.
But in any case, that was his suspicious, I'm going to use something good as a lead into something terrible. Moment in the speech. He talked about gun control, obviously. He had the mother of that girl from the inauguration parade who got killed in Chicago where everyone's dying at the hands of gun violence.
More stories about that.
Yeah, coming. And then, you know, he talked a little bit about vague sort of like we need to get the economy moving type rhetoric.
Jobs. He started caring about jobs again.
Yeah, we're back.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing that I loved about that speech was that 102-year-old voter.
That was by far the best part of the speech.
So good. And she was there. She was just like everything, too.
Yeah.
She was lovely.
You may have noticed that we heroically live-tweeted the entire thing.
We did. And I got a screenshot of her, and I was, because I was really into her.
Yeah. As you would know if you.
Yeah. Yeah, but we really live-tweeted the hell out of that. And both of the responses.
Yeah.
We even had to take to the internet to find the Rand Paul response, because that wasn't.
That doesn't show on television. You would think that network television would show that after the hilarity that was the Michelle Bachmann one, where she was looking at the
off
wrong
camera the whole time.
Yeah. I still have questions about whether that was a stylistic choice or not.
I don't think it was.
But the big sort of like news of the State of the Union was Marco Rubio's response.
And we were at the forefront of shocked. I mean, we were surprised in the sense that it was too ridiculous to even be true. But I mean, we were tweeting about 30 seconds into his speech
about his dry mouth situation.
I mean,
it was clear instantly. He kept touching his head. He was obviously sweating. And then he kept doing weird things with his mouth.
His mouth.
Because he obviously.
But he was also like wiping his mouth, and he was like wiping his brow too, which didn't really
have
anything
to do with
it.
Like it was a very awkward type of wipe.
The whole thing
was
really weird.
It was really awkward.
Yeah.
The news about him began in the morning because he voted no on the Violence Against Women Act that morning.
Yeah.
As if it was already not going to be terrible news that the Senate had 20 people voting against
all
this
Republicans.
Bill, which P.S.
Gets re-upped every single year.
Yeah. No, people aren't normally having problems re-upping.
Nobody votes still. Against this. I mean, the House voted against it last year, but they're voting against everything.
They were crazy.
Their job is.
Yeah. But I mean, this is the sort of bill that sort of like everyone agrees is a good thing.
But the only reason that they didn't pass it last year and the reason that 22 people voted for it or voted against it this year is because there's new protections for LGBT. And it's sort of like...
Like, go die in a well.
Ugh, God. And for Native Americans. Who are like some of the highest risk women's for... Women's?
You know the women's. The Native American women's.
Highest risk... Victims. Victims, yes.
Yeah, for domestic violence.
Yeah. And so, God forbid, we provide throw them into the list, too.
It's a travesty. Real travesty. Anyway. In any case, usually this bill gets re-upped with no problem. Marco Rubio made headlines by voting against it hours before his speech. Then gave a speech that, upon first listen, had very little content anyway.
Well, we couldn't notice any of the content anyway. I mean, we were struggling with being able to even...
It was impossible to figure out what he was saying.
And we watched it twice.
So distracting to watch him wipe his mouth and or head and then also make weird mouth movements because he had a dry mouth situation happening. And then, obviously, the part that I think probably everyone has already heard about is when he reached off camera to get a bottle of Poland Springs and awkwardly held eye contact the entire time with the camera.
Weirdest. There were so many things that were weird about that situation. One, that it was a bottle of water.
Right.
Because it's like you said, like, if he was, it was obvious that he was having issues. Like, one of his aides there should have been there. They should have handed it to him from off camera. Yeah. It should have been in a... There's like, so many ways that this could have... that he could have gotten a bottle of water
have both worked in production. So weird. We both know about how you can get some water to someone who's on camera. There are many ways to accomplish this. If the camera is only head up, or I mean chest up, you can hand it to them under the shot.
And it could have looked like it was just like sitting at a table and he was always going to grab water.
There are a million ways they could have fixed this. In any case, they were already operating public access style, so they didn't have the
foresight. Well, the whole thing was weird because it was like a 15-minute slow push. Like, by the end of it, I was like, why is it only his face? Because there was never a moment where you noticed that they were pushing in. But I know that at the beginning of the speech, it was like, basically like, you know, waist up.
Yeah.
And then by the end, we were like, looking, I was able to see his brain, basically. Like, I mean, it was weird. The whole staging of it was weird.
It's really
And
weird.
That room is weird. I don't even know where that was. It was flat.
Was it a room? Was it not a backdrop in some nowhere? He could have been standing in a sewer for all we know. Like, it was like so sort of like bizarrely close up. There was no way to really tell if there was any context to where he was. And
meanwhile,
then,
Rand Paul was like standing, looked like that was being shot like on somebody's
iPhone.
Not
and even.
And he was standing like in front of some...
Like a brown backdrop.
Yeah, it was, that was
like
weird.
A brown drop.
And he doesn't,
some sort,
whatever they were, they didn't make him look any less crazy.
No. Well, they weren't trying. That's not the demographic that is watching that online after watching two speeches. It's not a demographic that doesn't.
Worried about Rand Paul looking crazy.
Exactly.
They're hoping that he
does. They're hoping. Yeah. Well, Marco Rubio managed to look crazy in a different way than Bobby Jindal had. Here's something I'm wondering, though. Every time that they put their one token person up to this, they destroy their chances of being president. And what Marco Rubio did here not only made him look like a fool, it made us all remember that Bobby Jindal was a fool, too. Which people were forgetting because he was the only person in the Republican... He's the only person in the Republican Party right now who's doing any sense-making at all.
Yeah.
So for a while, I was like, God, why isn't Bobby Jindal really, like... Why isn't he sort of a more prominent figure in the party? Well, it's because he gave this wackadoo speech
Literally, the only reason that Bobby Jindal probably...
Didn't run, but couldn't.
He may have got the nomination because he's supposedly like this up and coming star
like
in the Republican Party.
He's
a minority. Only reason that he did not run was because of that insanely loony speech that he gave as the response to the State
of
the Union.
And Marco Rubio is in a similar position, and is sort of like their next great hope because mostly for a very specific reason, which is that they feel like, and I feel like, I don't understand how they lost the Latino vote or how they never got the Latino vote.
Yeah.
And Marco Rubio is supposed to address that somehow. But it turns out that he's only really appealing to fools because he looks like one. So.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, though, he's using that speech as a fundraising tool.
And Effectively.
Too.
He raised like over $100,000 because he was giving out free water bottles for anybody who donated over $25.
This is what the donation page says. Send the liberal detractors a message that not only does Marco Rubio inspire you, he hydrates you too. What?
No.
Stop it.
Terrible.
It's ridiculous. meanwhile, the only part of the speech that I did catch the content of.
Yes.
Was when he was talking about living in a working class neighborhood
and
how
suspect at
his
the time.
Neighbors, like, are retirees who depend on Social Security and Medicare. This is a claim that Republicans love to make. They're like, my own parents depend on Social Security, so I'm only going to take away yours. I'm not going to take away theirs.
That's a Paul Ryan was doing that in the presidential campaign. He was like, my mom's on Medicare and we got Social Security.
We're not talking about changes
died.
For her.
Right.
We're just talking about changes for people younger than me.
Right. We're just going to steal it from everybody else.
Yeah. But so Rubio tried the same tactic, but the line that stuck out to everyone was that he said he lived in a working class neighborhood, which struck everyone as highly suspect.
And so that's because it is.
PolitiFact investigated. They said that theoretically his neighborhood is sort of technically working class. The median home price is in the mid 300,000s or whatever.
Right. Not so much.
He's first of all, he neglected to mention that he's moving out of that neighborhood.
Right. He's moving to D.C.
He's moving to D.C. to quote, spend more time with his kids.
Yep.
But also the house that he lives in, which is like a 5-bedroom, 4-bath, like some nonsense thing, is listed for $675,000. Okay.
Not working class.
That's not working class, friends.
Certainly not in Florida.
No.
For God's sake.
God, in Miami? Like, no. So, I mean, in any case.
Florida's just like a giant shanty town. Can you imagine what $675,000 gets you?
It buys you a McMansion, that like the one Marco Rubio lives in. Then, to try to live down the shame of all of this, he just went to Israel.
Right.
To try to, I don't know what anyone, he's trying to follow
declare
in Obama's.
War on Iran, basically. Probably.
He's trying to do what Obama did and like make heroic international trips before declaring his presidency.
Yeah.
Or declaring his run for the presidency. And so he's head-scratchingly making trips to places like Israel.
He says his discussions throughout the week-long trip will include various areas of mutual interest. Whatever that means.
Providing military aid so that they can bomb the bejesus out of everyone in the border.
He said, America's friendship with Israel is a truly special one, and we must continue to do all we can to support this beacon of democracy, religious freedom, and free enterprise in the heart of the region.
Yes, the religious freedom in Israel is really staggering.
But then he goes on and he says, as Iran continues its pursuit of a nuclear weapon, we must continue to apply pressure through every possible means in order to prevent a nuclear Iran. So basically, he's going to Israel to ensure them that he's in favor of, you know, turning Iran into a parking lot.
Yeah.
Which he is.
That's
all Republicans.
Well, all Republicans. Even a lot of Democrats are in favor of that. That's one of the...
I'm concerned that Hillary Clinton is in favor of that.
Well, she's 100% in favor of that. She's in favor of all wars that are completely unnecessary. If there's one thing that we know about her, it's her love of war can't really be topped.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Chuck Hagel situation just never seems to end. I'm sick of hearing about him.
I know.
Not more than I'm sick of hearing about Benghazi.
No, I know.
We heard about both.
The thing that angers me about the Chuck Hagel situation is because of how ridiculous it's become and how crazy John McCain and Lindsey Graham and people are acting, is that I sort of feel like I have accidentally been sticking up for him, and I don't really like him.
No, I don't like him, yeah. No, it's crazy. We've had to stick up for him because the reasoning that's being employed to not stick, you know, by the people who are not sticking up for him is banana pants.
Right.
It's absolutely insane.
Right.
Like, they're talking about how he basically, and McCain, I think, vocalized this at some point this week. He was basically like, there's a reason that everyone's holding this up, and it's because they're pissed at him because he was questioning the Bush administration.
Right. He said that to Fox News this week and caught a lot of flack because, you know, people have been saying that that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, when John McCain went after him.
You're not supposed to confirm it.
No, you're not supposed to say it. Like, I mean, he sort of confirmed it during the hearings anyway, where he sort of went after him about the surge. I mean, they're still pissed at him about the surge.
And they're still convinced that the surge worked.
They think that the surge worked, and they are now...
It's a brilliant plan for spending unnecessary money.
And they're also sort of, I mean, being crazy about Benghazi. And so the two coupled with each other are just...
Insane. Absolutely
Harry Reid's
insane.
Not happy.
No. Harry Reid, which... Don't put Harry Reid in the position of having to stick up for Chuck Hagel.
No, I know.
They're not friends.
No,
he doesn't
want to do that.
But he doesn't want to be doing...
Might be. Yeah.
They're probably friends. But I mean, it's like everyone's friends with McCain. They're not trying to stick up for him in these circumstances.
Yeah.
He's acting like a crazy person.
Yeah.
Chuck Hagel was a longtime senator. I'm sure they all think he's a lovely guy. But don't put the Democrats in the position of having to stick up for Chuck Hagel, who...
Well, right, I mean, he's just as
far not really in line with their interests.
Besides the fact that he didn't really think that the surge worked, and he thought that Iraq was a debacle, which 100% of thinking people confirmed, now also yeah. think... He voted for us to go in there. Yeah. He's voted for every single, like, you know, defense spending increase. He's voted for, I mean, he's the same as John McCain and Lindsey Graham on every single issue of national security and yeah. defense, other than their, you know, issue with him on the surge. It's sort of like, we don't like him. There's no reason for Democrats to like him. Which sort of is curious that he's
being nominated for this position. Place.
But
Obama seems to have a great love of having Republican secretaries of defense.
Yeah.
Because he kept Gates on
for
which
ages.
Yeah. No one needed to do. No. I feel like this is probably why this sums up why John McCain never became president. Like, this is juvenile.
It's really juvenile.
Crazily
juvenile.
Well,
Harry Reid even was like, this is not a high school play. Which I didn't really think
no,
was
this
a very
is not
good
what he said.
Analogy,
this is the quote.
What did he say?
This isn't high school getting ready for a football game or some play being produced at a high school.
Right,
he didn't seem to know the term high school play.
No.
In less than 2 hours, our country will be without a Secretary of Defense.
Yeah.
They were planning to hold it up as long as they could.
Yeah.
And then they just sort of, it all fell apart because I think they probably realized that if they actually held it up and became the party that caused the country to be without a Secretary of Defense. Yeah.
Well, they did push the vote.
They pushed the vote, yeah.
It was supposed to be on Friday. And
right.
It didn't happen.
McCain is now saying it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. They're not going to filibuster
it. They're not going to filibuster it.
McCain. Is
apparently
sort of
speaks
admitting,
for the entire...
Admitting that they probably have it. If they don't filibuster it, he'll obviously get confirmed because
right.
there's 55 Democrats in the Senate. So, I mean, he's going to get... He only has to get, you know, 51.
Right, yeah.
Well, he only has to get 50 of them, really, and which he will.
I just... But, like, the filibuster thing sort of, like, it gives them an out that, you know, that it... They don't have to filibuster something to not vote for it. Like...
Right.
They don't... The filibuster doesn't give them an out, but the vote gives them an out because they're not going to be in favor. You know, it'll go down on the record that the Republicans voted against this.
Right.
So, like, why are we worrying about?
I have a feeling a
it
lot
happening.
I have a feeling a lot of Republicans will probably actually end up voting for him once they decide.
Well,
to
Well,
they
mean
him.
Not to. He was their friend.
I know.
Wouldn't be nice at all.
I think probably a lot of them will vote for him. Actually,
He's a member of their own party.
I think some of the crazies will not. I think probably, like, Ron Johnson will not, and
right.
Rand Paul will not, and potentially Marco
Rubio will not.
Well,
I wouldn't think that the Tea Party would, but the fact that Lindsey Graham and John McCain have been leading this just makes me nuts.
Yeah.
Like, what are those two up to?
Well,
they're supposed to be moderate members.
He was their
well,
partner
Lindsey Graham,
in crime,
not really, but...
And, you
and
know,
he abandoned
they had
them.
A falling out.
They had a falling out.
They're like, you know, they're frenemies now.
In any case, we mentioned before...
Oh, yeah.
That the mother of the girl who had marched in the parade and died
yes.
in a gun violence incident in Chicago was sitting next to the First Lady during the State of the Union.
Yeah.
Obama gave a gun speech this week, and now...
The sister of one of the girls
who was present at that speech got killed that day
in Chicago. Like
another Chicago gun
the...
violence incident.
Yeah. She was like... Visiting friends in, like, a Chicago suburb and just...
Died,
you know.
like, everyone in Chicago died in a gun violence incident.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the gun violence situation in Chicago is becoming a big deal in their mayoral election.
Yeah. Or no, in the...
In their
special election to replace Jesse Jackson Jr.
election.
Which I actually heard this story on Matta earlier this week. This is sort of fascinating because we talked about after the elections last year about how Bloomberg was sort of, you know,
starting
using
a gun
this,
violence, an anti-gun,
an anti-NRA, basically,
NRA
the
super
sort
PAC.
Of NRA's foil, super PAC, and is, you know, spent fairly well
yeah.
in the elections in 2012 and, you know, got some people elected. And he is sort of putting a lot of money
yeah.
into this race because it's a very Democratic district. Basically, whoever wins this Democratic primary is going to win this race.
Right. And the Democrat that is the front runner...
She has a lot of
A rating from the NRA.
Right, she has a lot of name recognition because she was the congressman from there
right.
once, and there is sort of like in the, you know, the outer areas of this district.
Right, there's
district,
a bunch of
white
people in suburbs who are crazy.
White people in suburbs who like their guns. And so she sort of has like a base of support, and she has name recognition, and so she's sort of like, there's like 20 people in this primary. It's sort of wacky.
it's California style.
So he started running ads against her. Her name is Debbie Halverson,
right.
and they seem like they're sort of working. Because he sort of initially was only running ads against her. And then now he's sort of like,
he's got a candidate that he's supporting now, Robin Kelly.
Some of the other Democrats are sort of rallying behind Robin Kelly, and Debbie Halverson is really on the defensive. And because Bloomberg has all of this money, it's Chicago, so it's very expensive to buy media there. But Debbie Halverson has not really been able to fight back at all. So, I mean, it's interesting that he's really sort of like
changing the race.
He said, there was a
in a Democratic, it's interesting that the Republican mayor of New York City is changing the race to be anti-NRA.
Well, the NRA
Democratic primary. Yeah.
They're nowhere to be found.
Well, is the NRA getting involved in this going to help anyone?
No,
it's not going to help anyone.
It's not.
It's going to make them look even more foolish than they already do.
So it'll be interesting to win, or to see who wins.
Whether
this actually works. I hope it does.
I hope it does, too. This is sort of, I've always thought this was an interesting area for Bloomberg to be in, not because the gun violence thing is an interesting area, because that makes sense.
Yep.
You know, New York State in general and New York City especially are very pro gun control. But he's sort of like using the super PAC to interject himself on the left of Democratic primaries, which, like, hello, like, he's a Republican.
He's a Republican. No, I mean,
or he's an independent now.
Was, yeah.
He's not a Republican.
No, correct.
If you could identify a party with which he is aligned, it's not
be.
The Democrats.
No.
So, I mean, that's sort of an interesting... But now Halverson is trying to back away from her the NRA rating A and is saying that her views are evolving and we have to do something. Although, this is a favorite cry of people who are trying to pretend that they're not, like, crazy gun nuts.
Yeah.
Doing something usually involves them not approving of doing anything.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and...
It's something,
and
but
she's
you...
sort of... For, I mean,
they'll
you
let you come up
you
with
don't
the idea.
Get an A rating from the NRA for not being crazy. But when I heard this story and they were talking about the details of this, they played some audio from a speech that she gave, like, when she was in the House. And it was just... it was, like, gun nuttery squared.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounded like the musings of, like, a deranged Sarah Palin or something. I mean, she's like... She wants everyone armed and shooting at everyone at all moments, basically. I mean, she's...
Perfect.
Yeah. So...
Speaking of guns, did you notice that we posted a picture of this online, but there was that picture of the guy who made
saxophone.
A saxophone out of a gun, like we suggested.
He stole our ideas.
I know. Yeah. People in Africa just stealing ideas, thought crime, going on left, right, and center.
Well, people are listening all over the world.
So true.
Jill just gave us a look.
As if... As if that was
untrue. She doesn't know.
She doesn't know. Meanwhile, McCain, who's been having a lot of thoughts this week, evidently, he's really all over the news, said that he also thought that background checks are going to get broad support in the Senate, which is the minimum that they can do. Like, the very least that they can do to not look like total assholes. The NRA keeps going to hearings and making fools of themselves. Everything the NRA does makes them seem meaner. Like, if the Senate can't get it together to support some damn background checks, then, like, what are they even doing in there?
Yeah.
All of them are looking like fools. Currently, the package is under negotiation, but apparently Tom Coburn, Mark Kirk, Joe Manchin, and Chuck Schumer are all meeting to propose legislation.
Yeah. I'm surprised Joe Manchin is putting his name anywhere near this, to be perfectly frank.
I know.
Because he's from West Virginia, and putting your name on a gun control bill is a surefire way to get...
He doesn't care. He's leaving.
Oh, he is?
Isn't he leaving?
Is he?
I think he's leaving.
No. Really?
Yeah. I think he's leaving. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe. Who knows?
No, because I think that we were talking
he's
about...
He's leaving now.
I think that we were talking about how that seat is probably going to go red in the next cycle because... Or he was at least talking about it.
Who knows
what's going on. In any case, the Colorado House passed a gun bill with ammunition limits and universal background checks on Monday.
Well, and if any place needs to.
Right?
Good Lord.
Good Lord. They should not. They should be banning guns, period, in that state. That is where all mass shootings start. You don't hear about mass shootings until one happens in Colorado, and then it's so gruesome that you start hearing about them everywhere else. But, like, I think they still allow concealed weapons in that state. Now they're talking about banning them in colleges and stadiums.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like...
But it was basically a universal...
The bill
passed. Yeah, it was a background check. Bill, and it also had other proposals. Colleges and stadiums.
Right, banning concealed weapons.
But it was close. There were a few Democrats that voted against it.
A bunch
of
jackasses.
So it was like, and it's a Democratic-controlled
But it's 33-32.
So it was really close, yeah. And this was my favorite quote from the entire piece about this.
This is my favorite idea that pro-gun people try to sort of...
One of the Republican representatives, Jerry Sonnenberg, said the bill will never keep evil people from doing evil things, which he's right about.
He's got us on that.
Yep.
It's not going to keep evil people from doing evil. It might keep crazy people from doing evil things.
Yeah.
Might keep non-evil people from doing evil things. Like
that logic drives me nuts. To do nothing just doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Anyway. Okay.
So he's in any case, Obama, well, no one's really sure whether they intended to leak this, but it got leaked.
USA
Today somehow leaked Obama's immigration plan. And this is what we were referencing earlier, where now that we know that he has a plan, which we knew already, and we knew the specifics of the plan already, the Republicans who were about to come up with the same plan have suddenly decided they don't want to support it if it has Obama's name on it.
Let us give you the timeline here of the immigration bill, because what happened basically is in 2007, there was an immigration bill that just couldn't make it through the House and the Senate. George Bush really wanted to pass it.
Yeah.
He probably saw
that the Republicans were about to lose any hope of ever having the Hispanic vote ever.
Right. So then, cut to 2012.
Right.
The Republicans get it handed to them by the Hispanics, and now they want to pass immigration.
Right.
So the Gang of Eight starts working on immigration. They come up with a bill that is exactly the same as the president's leaked bill that USA Today got. Yeah. And now, all of a sudden, it's dead on arrival. Marco Rubio, that's exactly what he said. He was like, this bill is DOA. It's the same bill that you just wrote!
Yeah, correct. True story. There is not a single part of that Brent was exaggerating in any way. We have seen both of these plans leaked.
You can't find the differences in the bills.
No. And the differences that are there
Other than this one has Obama's name on it, are so minor
that they would be easily compromised. Like, they'd be easy things to compromise around. Like, there's not any reason that... I mean, and basically, Obama's bill would have allowed for a path to citizenship after 8 years, I think, or something like that. They're now acting like that's blasphemy, even though they said the same thing a few weeks ago.
There was a path to citizenship
in their same fucking bill.
Yeah.
So, in any case, like all things in Washington right now, this makes no sense.
And Paul Ryan was also out there, talking about, basically all the Republicans who sort of, can get in front of a microphone or talking about how this isn't helping, and we've already got people working on this.
They were it's because he leaked the bill, so that shows bad, they were basically claiming he had bad sportsmanship for leaking the bill or whatever.
Yeah.
They were more critical of his action in leaking the bill. Whether or not he actually leaked the bill, nobody knows, but then they couldn't talk about the content of the bill because they support the content of the bill, except they don't because it has Obama's name on it.
Yep.
It was just sort of infuriating.
They're horrible.
Meanwhile, Obama spent the weekend not engaging.
He couldn't have leaked it. He was golfing with Tiger Woods this weekend.
Exactly. In case you're wondering, he had a 16 handicap. Uh-huh. I don't know what that means. Do you know what that means? Jill knows what that means. She doesn't. Jill golfs sometimes with her dad, or your dad golfs. Somebody in your family's golfing. I've never gone golfing, so I couldn't begin to guess what that means. But he took a private lesson with Tiger Woods' former swing coach, Butch Harmon.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite thing about this article, which is from the Daily News, is that they say it was Woods, one of the greatest shot makers and headline makers in the game, who dazzled the president from the start. Like, oh, Tiger Woods won the golf game between Obama and Tiger Woods?
Uh-huh.
Really?
And also, it wasn't Bruce Harmon that dazzled him.
Right.
It was Tiger Butch Woods Harmon. And not Butch Harmon. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Butch Harmon.
Butch.
That's a better name, and you should have remembered it. Uh-huh. But I mean, don't make that the story. In any case, that wasn't the story because
the actual story,
the White House Correspondents Association president, who's a Fox News reporter, which is suspect, Ed Henry, issued a stern statement because they didn't allow press access this weekend to Obama while he was golfing.
Right.
And they decided he was hiding something.
Yes.
He must have been hiding. A lot of policy decisions get made with Tiger Woods.
Well, and I also heard something earlier in the week too it was one of the headlines on Drudge, and it was a picture of Michelle and Barack, and it was split down the middle, and it was separate vacations. Meanwhile, every President's Day, she goes to Aspen with the kids, and we go dumbass people who were also trying to make a big deal about Obama going away for the weekend by himself and having a guy's weekend. So it was so many people were making a bigger deal. So the press didn't get to tootle around the golf course.
Yeah. So dumb. It's boring enough that golf was in the news at all in relation to the president. Did I need a play-by-play of his golf game? I would be nervous, too, playing golf in front of the entire American media. I mean, he's not a professional golfer.
No.
He has no reason to be good at this.
Yeah.
In any case, Lindsey Graham's trying to get us to repeal Obamacare. Because
they haven't tried enough.
They haven't tried enough.
And the Supreme Court didn't uphold it.
Exactly. And because he thinks that that somehow is going to off-put the sequester cuts.
That's his new plan.
His new plan is we'll cut Obamacare, and then we won't have to deal with the sequester anymore. That will be the deal.
That is not a deal, though.
It's not a deal that we should be making. If Lindsey Graham comes near you with this idea.
Send him away.
Send him away because that's incorrect. But they're also, they're sort of like sticking to this new line on the sequester, which is that it's Obama's idea. So he needs to fix it.
But they all voted for it.
They all voted for it, and it was Obama's idea because he couldn't think of a way to get them to raise the debt ceiling because they were trying to hold the entire country hostage.
He didn't invent the sequester because he wanted the sequester to happen.
No.
He did it as a threat for the Senate to get their shit together, and then they couldn't.
Does anyone remember the super committee that was supposed to solve this problem months and months ago? I certainly do, but I guess none of them do.
No.
Because they were on that committee and they couldn't get anything passed.
No.
And it wasn't, like, John Kerry's idea to not get anything passed alone. Like, I mean, it was partially his idea, for sure, because, you know, everyone on that super committee was suspect. But, I mean, it's just sort of, like, infuriating that this is their new line.
Yeah.
The blame falls on the president who came up with the idea of the sequester, so let's take away his health care bill. Stop yourself.
Oh, Lindsey.
Ah, Lindsey Graham. There are some heroes left in the Senate, though.
Oh, boy.
Because Liz Warren...
Just getting there.
Just
Thank
getting
God.
In the Senate. Liz Warren dazzled the universe.
Usually, today, they talk about week. How freshman senators sort of, you know...
They've been having
play by the rules, and they
very
don't really
different freshman
get there.
Senators. Because remember, Gillibrand came in, ended Don't Ask, Don't Tell, got the 9/11 health bill passed. Like, it was like the moment she got there, she just hassled everyone into doing everything she wanted to do.
Right.
Liz Warren is
there was
a folk hero
video
already.
That we posted on the Facebook page this week.
That every other person in America posted.
Right,
also.
Because it's been
it got a million
watched
views.
Over a million times, which is awesome. Because I mean, what video from the Senate banking hearing has ever been seen a million
and
times.
And that video, you have to really sit through a while to get to the
You do.
Point.
The goodness of that
the
video
intro,
happens like in the last sort of like 30 or 45 seconds where
so
she really sort of like
happened was
smack
Elizabeth down. Warren sort of lays all of this groundwork at the beginning of the video and it gets boring.
Yep.
But then she says, she's talking to a bunch of bank regulators and she says, when is the last time you took a Wall Street bank to trial? We know they've been breaking laws. We know that they've been doing all these illegal things. Did you ever take any of them to
and
trial?
And they all sort of like skirt the issue. They say, God. We come to settlements and we, you know, blah. And she
we
asked
don't have
all of
to
them,
bring
she was
people
like,
to trial.
She was like,
we settle.
I know you come to settlements, but like, you know.
Did you ever bring them to trial? You know, she just kept asking the question basically. Yeah. And they're like, well, as a practical matter, we don't. Like they talk themselves in circles trying to avoid this question.
Yeah.
Not a single person on the panel could answer it.
Yeah. And then, the best part of it was at the very end, she says, there are district attorneys and United States attorneys out there every day squeezing ordinary citizens on sometimes very thin grounds and taking them to trial in order to make an example, as they put it. I'm really concerned that too big to fail has become too big for trial.
Well, because one of her constituents, who was an open internet activist, committed suicide recently because he was being hounded by federal prosecutors because they wanted to make an example out of him.
Yeah.
So, anyway... makes us wish that she had been put on the Consumer Financial Protections Bureau.
Well, it's
but
just sort
we're
of like,
happy that she
I was gonna
landed
say, this
where
is,
she did.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the bankers pushed really hard and the Wall Street people pushed really hard to have her not head that up. And sort of, it's all,
lesson
you know,
learned.
She's coming back
haunt
to
them.
Roost. yeah, exactly.
But I mean, this is, I was worried that she would get into the Senate and spend a year listening before she said anything.
Nope.
She's really good at making these, sort of like, asking these simple questions. It's. I mean, before this, she had a big internet hit with the response to the "You Didn't Build It" line,
right?
Where she was like, and it was a line that Obama stole later, basically, because her whole point was, yes, like you built your business and that's great for you and good work, but like you didn't build the roads that serve your business. It was the line that she thought crimed us on,
right?
Because we'd been saying it for weeks. But in any case, that was her last big internet hit. So she's doing her part.
She's a. An internet hero.
She's an internet hero.
Yeah. Who people are talking about, maybe she'll run for president in 2016.
Do it, Liz.
Uh-huh. Another person who's going to run for president in 2016. Hillary Clinton. Hitting the speaking trail. The paid speaking trail. She's not taking the money.
No.
She's giving it to charities.
Well.
But
once
still.
You have so much. What do you even do with all that
well,
extra money?
Well, Bill made, like, almost $15 million in speaking fees last year. So, yeah. I mean, she doesn't...
The whole
she
family, can... professional speech givers, basically, at this
Pretty
point.
Much.
And she's also not collecting fees for causes she believes in, apparently.
Right.
But basically, she's just going to be a professional speech giver now.
Right.
Now and that she's not the Secretary of State.
Yes. She's, like, it was sort of, like, announced this week that she's being repped by, like, the same, you know, company that, like, reps, I think, like, her husband and Al Gore and...
All the big professional speech givers out there.
Yeah. And it also said that she's going to be working on her memoir as her from her time as the Secretary of State. And we've been saying
that she's going to have a book that comes
looking
out.
For a book
yeah.
from Hillary Clinton.
What else is she
going to
do?
Months and
she's
months.
She's got to do that so that she can declare that she's running for president and sell books
that's
at the same time.
That's what you do. Well, you have,
that's
to have
the plan.
A, you have to have a book.
To remind people in 2 years that you're about to run for president.
Every presidential candidate has this hawking a book at the same time.
Dreams of My Father. Mm-hmm. Enough said.
Well, and Herman Cain was basically just using his presidential campaign
to sell a book.
He was going places where there weren't even primaries. he was only running a campaign to be selling his books.
I mean,
so
when you're the anyway. CEO of Godfather's Pizza,
you have a lot to write about.
You have a lot to write about.
You have stories that people want to hear.
Exactly. You've got 999 plans.
You don't have
and
ideas
stories.
That they want to hear.
Well, you have simple ideas about Uzbeki, Becky, Becky, Becky.
That's right.
Meanwhile.
Oh.
Abortion rights are being attacked in Alabama, like
oh,
in every state.
God. This is a doozy.
So basically, the Alabama House is voting on abortion legislation on Tuesday.
Yeah.
That would do what every other state is trying to do. I think Mississippi has already done this and is basically about to lose its one abortion clinic.
Yeah.
Where they're going to put a bunch of restrictions on abortion clinics, where you need to have admitting privileges at local hospitals, which obviously in a state where everyone is anti-abortion is difficult because the hospitals won't give you admitting privileges.
Right.
When they think that abortion is murder. Clinics have to follow a bunch of crazy building codes, and they're all, like, retroactively applied, and so it's, like, hard to, you know, they get mad because the hallways aren't wide enough or some nonsense. And then people who assist, you know, like nurses and nurse practitioners get charged, you know, for dispensing abortion-inducing medicine and stuff like that. In any case, the sponsor of the bill is a woman named Mary Sue McClurkin. why can't I read her name?
Her name is Mary Sue, which
Mary
is
Sue.
Sort of what's important.
Right.
Here,
I think it's McClurkin.
Sure.
It's a hard one to say. It's hard
that?
To read. McClurkin.
McClurkin, yeah.
Anyway, she was defending the legislation when she said,
right.
When a physician removes a child from a woman, that's the largest organ in the body. That's a big thing. That's a big surgery. You don't have any other organs in your body that are bigger than that. So if you're ever wondering what biological classification a baby falls into,
it's an organ.
It would be the largest organ in your body.
What a dumbass.
So these are the people that are trying on, quote, scientific grounds to restrict your right to abortion.
Probably
America.
Pass.
Yeah. As the Gawker or the Jezebel article that we took this from pointed out, your skin must be really pissed off to find out.
it said Mary Sue's pancreas could not be found for comments. boy. Oh,
speaking of
abortion and the rape caucus, we haven't heard from Richard Murdoch in a while.
We may be hearing from him soon.
He's not ruling out running for public office again.
No, he wants. This is my favorite part of the story, is that he says that he has recovered mentally and physically from his loss to Joe Donnelly.
Physically?
Mentally?
Well, he recovered
mentally from anything?
No.
Did he suffer physical harm that we didn't know about?
I was going to say.
After being sort of a pro-rape candidate?
Yeah.
Was there physical harm that he suffered?
I don't know.
Certainly a lot of women have suffered physical harm as a result of his beliefs. But I don't know that he needs to be fit. Like, was he doing push-ups to prepare for this? Like, what did that mean? In any case, he is talking about how the world still needs to hear what he thinks or some nonsense. He basically said that, like...
We heard it already.
We know what you think.
You lost a Senate seat that every breathing human in Indiana could have won.
Yeah.
He was the only person that could have lost that Senate seat.
The only one.
Literally.
Todd Akin could have won that seat.
Mitt Romney won Indiana by, like, 19 points.
Yes, there was no...
And those 19% of people in Indiana turned around and voted for the opposite party in that seat. That was an easy...
Meanwhile...
Anybody could have won that seat.
Mitt Romney would have won by 100% if Murdoch hadn't basically probably, I mean, hadn't caused everyone to vote Democratic in this Senate.
There's no reason that Indiana has a Democratic senator right now other than that Richard Murdoch.
Richard Murdoch believes that rape is a gift from God, or rape babies are a gift from God.
Yeah. Anyway.
In any case. So,
that's great. I would love him to run again.
I would be thrilled. Him and Todd Akin might run again. We have almost everything going for us. We might have a repeat of the last election in a very verbatim kind of sense.
We could just not do a podcast that week.
No.
We could just play like a clip. Last June or
exactly. In any case, I feel like we never really report on what progressives are up to. And my Facebook newsfeed was taken up entirely this weekend by a big national climate change rally.
Yeah.
And so I thought we should mention it.
There were a lot of people at it. It was the biggest climate change rally in history.
Yeah, and
said,
we had one in LA. And I know that in New York they were talking about fracking, but they had one in Albany about fracking. They had a big one in DC, I believe. It was like a big deal. And I don't really have anything to report on it. That's why we never report on these things, because what are we going to say? But I thought that we should mention that it happened.
Well, they had 35,000 people in DC.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And they're basically, I think their big push right now is that Obama not sign off in this Keystone
Pipeline. Right, the Keystone Pipeline. And the Keystone Pipeline thing has been like a big thorn in his side, because I don't know that he really knows what to do about it.
I don't think he does either. Because
it's a mess.
He's been supposed to have been making a decision on it for sort of like years at this point.
Here's what you could do, Obama. Not sign off on it.
Well, at this point, I just think that he can get away with... there were a lot of people who sort of like felt like that the reason that he sort of kicked it down the road a little bit was because he wanted to decide in his second term.
Yeah.
And I think now that he's in his second term, he doesn't have to,
to do anything.
Do whatever he wants.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. He can't get reelected, so he doesn't have to worry about it.
Nope. And if he's serious about climate change, which he claims to be.
Right.
Then.
He's also serious about fracking, so it's hard to know how serious about climate change he is. That said. Speaking of the climate,
I guess, I don't know.
There was a huge meteor that crashed into Russia and, like, injured 1,000 people and, like, blew out everyone's windows because of a shockwave.
Well, it was like
this seems like a story Jill would know a lot about, too. Yeah, she's nodding as if she doesn't, but that's incorrect.
We know.
We know. We know what's going on.
Well, the reason is because it was 500 kilotons of energy.
I don't know what that is.
Nobody knows. But, well, actually, somebody does.
The reason is.
Somebody does. No, it was more than 30 times the energy of the Hiroshima atomic bomb.
Oh, that's
when it came into the atmosphere.
Lot.
That's crazy.
That's too much.
That's too much.
That is,
and it's the biggest.
Speed earlier, though.
Yeah.
What's that?
It was like 46,000 miles.
46,000 miles an hour, something crazy like that.
Oh, wow.
That's too fast, also.
Yep.
That's too much energy, and that's too fast.
It was 55 feet in diameter. That's too wide.
Right. Everything about what happened with this meteor was too much.
Uh-huh.
And that wasn't even talking... There was another meteor that was supposed to hit us, that was supposed to come very close to us.
I love the story, too, that we pulled from the Wall Street Journal. It said it was 10,000 tons and was made from a stony material, scientists said. Scientists said that it was made from
a
stony
material? They don't have a scientific word for stony.
Like,
well, I guess there are metallic ones and stony ones, right? Because... I went...
Jill's nodding, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
See, she knows.
I read that today.
Yeah, she said she didn't know, but we knew that she knew.
She knows all the details of the story in depth. In any case, this is terrifying, A, because it hadn't occurred to me that I could be hit by a meteor, and now it has occurred to me.
Now I know.
Now I know. And B, didn't we get news that the Russian... I mean, it looked like a bomb was coming in, and I think
crazy.
The Russian military shot at it. That's what the story is. They tried to shoot it out of the sky or something.
They needed to go, like, what was that terrible movie with the Aerosmith song from it?
Armageddon.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was the only detail I could remember. I don't know who's in it. I just know Don't Want to Miss a Thing was
right,
the soundtrack.
So true.
Right?
That's what everyone knows about that movie. Steven Tyler.
I think that was also the last movie that, what's her name, what's in?
Liv Tyler.
The hell's her name? Liv Tyler.
Yeah.
She's not working anymore.
She's not working anymore.
Tyler,
no, she's being a mother / the daughter of Aerosmith's Steve Tyler. In any case, that was a terrifying story that I think potentially created its own sinkhole type situation in Russia.
We'll look into that.
We're going to look into some sinkholes. We learned recently that sinkholes are happening everywhere, every day.
Yeah.
So, I saw a minor sinkhole in LA recently.
Well, the street collapsed at one point.
Yeah, that's like a sinkhole.
That was like a sinkhole on La Cienega. Yeah.
Yeah, it was terrifying. In any case, in ridiculous news.
Final news.
Final ridiculous news. And I don't know why we needed to report on this.
Because it's
but
funny.
But it's hilarious.
It's not funny because there's death involved.
There are so many confusing parts of this story, which we will get to in a second. So there was sort of an unofficial spokesman for the Heart Attack Grill in Las Vegas, which is a restaurant that serves food that
gives you a heart attack. And
like, his name was John Allen.
Their burgers are called like the bypass burgers. They have like a single bypass and the double bypass. They have like a quadruple bypass, which holds the Guinness World Record for like most caloric burger, and it's just shy of 10,000 calories.
That's roughly five times as many as you need in a day.
Per day, yeah, exactly. They have what, flatliner fries, which are deep fried in pure lard. That
sounds
I feel
delicious.
Like I might want to take a trip through and have some up because that sounds
in any case,
really good.
Their unofficial spokesman, John Allman, died at 52 of a heart attack. It's not even ironic.
Unofficial. Because he basically stands out in front of the restaurant and tries to get people to go in, and he does not get paid for this.
He's just like a volunteer person,
and like the owner of the restaurant would sometimes give him free food, and I guess had said to him, "I told him if he kept eating like this, it was going to kill him," and it did.
And it did. Now the Heart Attack Grill has nothing but bad press.
No.
But once we all found out about those French fries, we were surprisingly okay.
I'm going there in May,
right?
And I feel like I might have to get some of those fries.
It's probably
going to
be.
I'm seeing Elton John.
Oh yeah, Brent is. Going on
for my birthday.
One of the most confounding birthday weekends a person could go on to see Elton John.
I think that's a great birthday weekend.
Sure.
I'm going with my girlfriend's.
Yeah.
Her birthday is the next weekend.
Yeah, you're taking a group Elton John Las Vegas.
Yes.
Like, it really couldn't be any, like, tackier of a
no,
vacation
it's gonna be
than
fantastic.
That.
You know that show is going to be
It's going to be quite a show.
It's going to be a show.
A real show.
Yeah.
Showiest show. Of all the shows. Yeah. But in any case, that's the news this week. There's not going to be any news next week.
We're going to have an explosive blog posting later this week, though.
Yeah. That's right. We're finally posting our Hillary blog this week.
The one that we've been
teasing for three weeks.
We wrote it 3 weeks ago.
We're going to finally post.
And in two weeks,
we're going to be at our one-year anniversary.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. That's big news right there.
Mm-hmm.
So keep an eye out for that. I'm sure something exciting will happen.
Mm-hmm. And happy President's Day. We didn't wish you happy President's
Day. Yes. Yes. Happy President's Day. I hope you, like the president, did something relaxing with your favorite sports figure. You didn't do something relaxing with the owner of the Lakers because he died.
Oh, yeah. He
just
died
now.
Too.
Yeah.
Today. Journals.
Everyone is acting like they knew all about this. And I still don't know who he is. But I'm sure people in LA are sad.
They are.
Great.
All right.
In any case, we'll see you next week.
Talk to you next week.
Look out for our blog post on Thursday. Tell your friends. Follow us on Twitter @BrainTrustLive.
Bye.